Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routines, record a scene, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-able. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off from bad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how'd you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about! Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
For your transgression, you receive the atomic boot to the ass!
Thud!
Oh boy, that sounded bad.
I've fallen and I can't get up!
Ha ha!
Is the turtle. to fill the terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
Awing, 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 awing She's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch a catfish from dusk till dawn. whiskey and I own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. But we grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. We say grace, we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. We can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. We can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Hello everybody, it's old King Shazaz the Terrible here. While I wait around for the knights to show up, got a few things on my mind. Looking out there into this world again, seeing all the crazy stuff. I don't even know what's going on these days, you know. I try not to watch the news anymore because it's just too disturbing, too depressing, all that kind of stuff. We spend a lot of time, at least I do, spend a lot of time on the radio shows trying to preach peace, hope, and love out there. Thinking we got to make a difference somehow. We got to do something to make this world a better place. And sometimes it seems like we're making ground, and sometimes it seems like we're not. Sometimes it seems hopeless, and sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes we seem to get on a roll, and everything goes well. You know, when I talk about my own spiritual beliefs, I sometimes run folks off. You know, a lot of folks are so turned off by anything that is even remotely connected to spirituality or religion or whatever, and they just don't want to hear it. But there has to be something. There has to be some purpose to life. There has to be a reason. This can't all just be for just, you know. It can't just be for nothing. Yay! It can't be for nothing. There has to be a purpose, you know. If there's no purpose for something, it's all for nothing. And I got to keep telling myself on a regular basis. I'm having trouble with the doggone call again. See, this is the kind of thing that I'm talking about. Every time I turn around, it's technical difficulties. It's craziness. There has to be a purpose in this world for something. Otherwise, it's all for nothing. And so I don't think that spreading peace, hope, and love is a bad thing. I think that if the entire world, if you just walk away from the entire world as it stands, then the whole thing is bad. I'm not willing to let that go. I'm not willing to let the world just kind of collapse around me and not say nothing, or at least make the attempt. So we put these networks together, all of us people from No Borders and Wake Radio and Shaziz Radio and We Roar and all the other networks coming on board. We put these networks together to spread peace, hope, and love to one another. Good ideas and information and alternatives to everything. Alternatives to the mainstream media. Because every time you turn the TV on, it's something. It's something. Every time you turn it on, it's something. Right now, they're talking about a missing airplane, you know. Or one day, they're talking about how Justin Bieber's over there getting in trouble with the law and all this kind of stuff and making a fool out of himself in court. You know, nothing. There's nothing of any really good content on there. There's nothing of really importance on there. If I had access to the mainstream media and all the masses out there that they broadcast to, if I had access to their audience, there would be so much other stuff that I would talk about. There would be so many more important things to say than to talk about some stupid movie star or some stupid singer out there making a fool out of themselves, or, you know, doing something nasty on stage or whatever. If I had that audience along with our audience and I could say what needs to be said out there, I'd point out the fact that, you know, somewhere in this world there's still somebody doing without, you know, and there's people in that area that can do something about it. There's people in our area who can go there and do something about it. There has to be a purpose to life. It has to be some sort of purpose. If there's no purpose for something, then it's all for nothing. I can't believe that we would have this all the resources that we've got. I can't believe that we would have all these like minds coming together if it was all for nothing. So with that said, I don't know where we can pull out the extra energy to do anything more than what we are doing. You know, we've offered the platform to so many people from so many nations, and you know, it's a case of whether or not they want to use the platform. It's not my radio network. It's everyone's radio network. On Shaziz Radio, we put links to everybody else's radio stations. We put links to everybody else's chat rooms. You know, we put that information out there so that if you don't like what you're hearing on Shaziz Radio, you can simply change the channel to another network and see what they're talking about. And it's not about us being popular or us being anything more than people who just really give a damn, you know? Sometimes I look in my chat room, I see my numbers in my chat room are you know, minuscule at best. And it doesn't bother me in the least, because I know all the networks that were going out. I know all the people that are getting to hear our broadcast. And the ones that aren't getting to hear our broadcast are getting to hear other broadcasts. There's options here. You go to shows and hosts link on Shaziz Radio, and there's alternative radio networks. And we keep putting them in there as they come in. If somebody has a radio network out there who is trying to do good to the world, we're going to put it there. We share links on Facebook, and we share links on Skype, and there's so much going on behind the scenes of all these networks, and I keep saying, we've got to keep this ball rolling because it is so important. I mean, all right, so, you know, some of us, we just can't travel to other countries. We can't just get up and go do things, but we can use the power of the spoken word. We can help educate people, point them out to technologies and ideas and information that they can use to benefit themselves in times of need or whatever. So, you know, some of us, our health ain't very good, and some of us can't get up and get around, but, you know, we can work a keyboard, so we're still working. Even if our bodies aren't allowing us to get out there and chop firewood or whatever, we're still working the mind, we're still working the heart, we're still putting the information out there for everybody and his brother. All the sisters and brothers around the world, we're trying to give them hope, peace, and love. We need all y'all's help. I know there's a whole lot more people listening out there. I know it. Without a doubt, I know it. We need each and every one of you. You know? Not to come over and make Shaziz Radio famous, because I couldn't care less about fame or fortune. If I wanted to be rich, I would have been rich by now. A man's wealth isn't measured by how much gold or silver he can put in his pocket. A man's wealth is measured by the family that he's got, the friends, his works, the things that he does in his life. And these all come from my spiritual beliefs. You know, this is what I believe in. You know, I've never forced my belief in God on anyone. You know, I've had so many people try to convince me that my beliefs are wrong. I argued science versus religion, or, you know, I even hesitate to use the word religion, because it's like a filthy word out here in this cyberspace that we call the internet. But it's not religion that matters. It's the person's spiritual journey that matters. It's the way they bring their life and share with everyone else out there. I've got a strange view on the world. I know that there's a whole lot more to this world than meets the eye. I know there is so much more. And if there's not a God, then, you know, I won't know when I die anyway. But if there is, I'd kind of like to stand before judgment with at least something to say that I'd at least tried. You know, I'm but by means not even remotely perfect. We need those voices out there. We need those people that are listening via iPads and iPhones and other devices. We need you guys to jump on some of these networks. If you believe in what it is we're saying, you must believe because you're listening. Or at least we might be humorous to you or whatever. Who knows? There's a whole lot of stuff going on in the world, a whole lot of things that need to be addressed. There's a world of need out there. And if we don't do it, nobody's going to do it. The burden can't be put on just the guys and gals who come out here and do these shows. The burden can't just be put on the few who pass links and smiley faces up in the chat room. The burden has to go to all of humanity. There's so many things going on in the world. We're standing on the precipice of the edge of World War III or the total apocalypse, however you want to look at it. In my beliefs, it shows signs of the last days. You know, the final battle between good and evil. Whether you believe in that or not, that's you know, your own personal spiritual journey. But one thing you can't deny is that this world is going down a bad path. And if we keep allowing this thing to go down the way it is, the outcome, it can't be good. World War III, you know, not good. thermonuclear war of any kind of war is not good. Anytime you lose a human soul, it is not good. And we got people out here with such large hearts that they're trying to do their part in some way, you know. I've heard people say, oh, well, you know, there's a whole bunch of keyboard warriors or whatever. They'll get on and they'll complain and they'll do this and they'll do that, but they don't never accomplish nothing. That's because what they're trying to accomplish is to wake people up to the fact that we need to do something. We need to do it. I can't do it by myself. You can't do it by yourself. We need to do it. It is a joint effort of all of humanity to save humanity, turn this ship around, clean up our environment, and do the things that we know deep in our heart needs to be done. You want your children to be raised in a post-apocalyptic world? Your grandchildren? You want this world to be what you'd see in the movies, like Road Warrior or something like that? You know, you can't even find food half the time. You got to fight your way through life. You know, life is hard enough as is, but if you really think about it, we got it made. Right now, we got it made compared to what it could be, to what it will be if we keep going on the path that we're on. So we put the Knights of the Round Table together, and we brought all these brilliant minds from all over the nation. We've got things like virtual labs trying to get up and running and all this kind of stuff. We got our YouTube channels out there. We're doing research in alternative energy. We're doing everything that we can do. And if it was all about money, then that's all you'd hear us every day. We'd be saying, please, give us money, give us money, give us money. You don't hear that here on Shaziz Radio Network. You don't hear that on Awake Radio Network. You don't hear that on No Borders Radio Network. You don't hear that on We Roar. We're not saying donate to us so we can do this or that. I mean, if the option's out there and you got a capability of supporting any alternative media, any alternative researchers that you believe in, by all means do it, because this is the platform. This is all we've got. None of us have the limousines. None of us have the corporate jets. None of us have the corporations backing us. What we all have is all these corporations coming down on us with rules and regulations, violating our sovereignty, violating our freedom, violating everything that stands good in humanity. Common law, common purpose, common sense. You know, our God-given rights. However, whether you're an atheist or not, whether you're a Christian or Buddhist or Muslim or whatever, your freedom came from something. It couldn't have come from nothing. You know, the science geeks will tell you, you know, the Big Bang's something came from nothing. Sounds magical. The creationists will tell you the same thing. Something came from nothing. You know, it was all spoken to existence, or it was all one big explosion. None of that's neither here nor there, because brothers and sisters of the world, we are on the same boat. It all sounds magical, and if you look out into the world, it is amazing. It is magical. Every day there's a miracle occurring before your very eyes. When the world's talking to you, and it's doing the things that it's doing, and society is on the track that it's on, it's time to stand up and listen. It's time to stand up and participate. I can't keep shouting alone as hard as I try. My voice is just a little squeak in the gears of life. So, if you're tooling down the road and you're hearing, you can make a difference. The world needs your help. I don't care if you never come to Shaziz Radio. Go to one of the other networks. Do or say something positive. Do or say something constructive. Give somebody a hug. Feed somebody. To me, that's what it's all about. I don't get up early in the morning and fight my way through the blizzard outside or try to burn wet firewood to stay warm while I'm sitting here talking to everybody. I don't get up to talk all this stuff for nothing. I feel it. I have dreams of things to come that are so terrible. And I feel it. And if I don't get up and I don't say something to steer this boat in the right direction, then it's all about just lay down and let it go, man. And if we lay down and let it go, it's our children that got to live in the world that we leave behind. What more can I say? I know you're listening. It's time to stand up. It's time to participate. Pick up a paper and pencil and write a letter or something. Do something. Send an email. People are supposed to be representing us. They're out there after sending us down a path to sure destruction. And the scary thing about it is, we the people of all nations, are allowing them to do it. We're letting them get by with it. We're letting them kill us. We're letting them poison us. We're letting them destroy our children's future. We're letting them dumb down the nations of the world. And you think you don't have any power. You think you don't have a choice. You know, in my religion, my spiritual belief, the story was told from Genesis all the way to Revelations. It was told from beginning to end. It was said, this is going to happen. It also says in there that no man knows the time or day, that he'd come like a thief in the night. Means when you're at your worst, God himself going to show up on your doorstep. But it didn't say in there that we got to lay down. It didn't say that we got to sit back and wait and watch and let everything just happen. We should be up trying to uplift each other's souls. No matter where you're at, where you stand in your spiritual beliefs. Even if you're an atheist, you should be trying to lift up your brother, your sister. But there's things going on in this world that's fixing to take down us all. All of us. No matter what we believe. And that's not fear tactic. That's just looking to the world. Tell me you see something different than I see. Tell me you don't see governments out of control. Tell me you don't see deterioration of society, deterioration of humanity. Tell me you don't see mass sickness and evil in this world. We are the only ones who can stop it. If our generation to this point right now, with the knowledge that we have in our heads, if we can't get this done, the rest of humanity lies on those kids who have been indoctrinated in these schools, these government prisons that these little children have to go to on a daily basis. And it is sickening to my soul to think about a little child going into a school, because I can remember way back when I was sitting in third grade, I can remember just sitting there bursting out in tears because I realized I'm only in third grade. I got so many more years before I'm up out of this hellhole that they call school. And it wasn't that bad back then. And it's a lot worse now. Kids got cameras in their faces. They can't practice their own religious beliefs. They can't practice their own freedom of speech. They can't speak out whenever they, whenever the people, the teachers at the top tell you you got to stand up and pay homage to a man that they don't agree with when he's elected. If you don't believe in this particular individual, you should have, by rights here in the United States, the freedom to turn your back on that individual. If you don't believe that they're for the good or for whatever, that is your right. Not to be forced to stand before and pledge allegiance to this man. It's my personal belief, and maybe it makes me insane, but it's my personal belief that the man standing in the White House right now is literally, from the biblical sense, the Antichrist. And if that makes me insane, so be it. But everything that I've studied and researched and read in that book right there says right there in Revelation 13:18 that let he who hath knowledge count the number of the beast, for it is 666, the number of a man. I see it, I calculated it. Those are my personal beliefs, and if I'm wrong, so be it. History will tell the truth one way or another. But the lies, the deceit, it's all there. So where do we go from there? The man's literally the Antichrist, and Revelations is playing out just like the book said. Then somebody better get right with God. And if you don't believe in God, you got to get right with something. You got to get right with the world. Because what's happening before you is you are literally watching it all fall down. It can't get any better on the track that we're on unless we stand up and start cleaning the brush and the trash off that track. We're doing, us radio hosts and the Knights of the Round Table and the people that show up in these chat rooms, we're doing our part. We're doing what we can. We've shared resources. We've shared tears and laughter and like a family. We're doing our part. We need those folks out there that are listening in, and I know you're there. I've seen the numbers. We need you to write emails to somebody. Let somebody know. We need you to show up. We need you to go. If you ain't coming here, go somewhere else. Do something positive in this world and tell somebody about it. Everything can't be for nothing. It has to be for something. There has to be a purpose for something, or it's all for nothing. I'm going to throw on a tune and see if I can get something going on, man. I think I'll throw on the same tune that I throw on a lot of times. I know a lot of people get tired of hearing this, but this tune is what says what my heart's talking about. This tune, it has a message, and I hope you hear it.
Survive, hoping that mankind will stop abusing.
Don't forget that old King Shaziz the Terrible rules with an iron fist, and so, you know, with that said, you're bad for my reputation, Cultus. Oh, did that go out live over air?
I think so.
So how you doing, brother?
Oh, I can't complain, mate. I got to try my first American beer last night.
All right, which kind did you have?
Miller's.
I guess that's all right.
And then I had another one. And another one. A Miller's Genuine Draft. Cold filtered beer. Oh, I thoroughly enjoyed it. Well, and then I thoroughly enjoyed another one. And then I thoroughly enjoyed another one.
Man, that means you and thoroughly enjoyed
it. Sure, and there was another one. Then there was something called an Irish Car Bomb.
How many did you thoroughly enjoy?
Guinness and Scotch in a glass. And, I don't know, Bailey's Irish Cream in a shot glass, and you drop the shot glass straight down into the whole shot glass straight down into the drink, and then scull it.
Man.
And then there was another beer. And another beer.
Sounds like you
and I feel really good this morning. I'm from Australia.
Well, if I'd enjoyed that quantity, I would probably be like hollering right now. Ow, my head hurts.
Yeah, it was a full moon last night too. Did you notice?
No, I missed that.
Really?
I know.
Cordy played up on the full moon.
Where we were at, it was raining so hard it wasn't even remotely funny. The wind was blasting in all different directions, and right now it's kind of like snowing outside. But I about wiped out on my front step and pulled my arm out of whack, but I'm all right. But
touch wood, I think we're finally over the snow. It all melted away, and there was grass again, and then it snowed again, and pretty much went right back to what it was. And now it's no more snow again. So I don't know.
Is it just you and I, or do we have Stalker in there too?
We did. I brought him in here, but then he disappeared.
Disappeared. Must be that Honest Abe used ISP service.
Yeah. Sorry.
Oh man. You know, there's so much to talk about. I mean, it's just incredible. Sometimes the nights at the round table will take a life of its own, you know. I mean, every show we get, it gets more incredible.
We just run with it, don't we? Run with it. Whatever comes to mind, whatever comes to heart, that's what we discuss.
Last night before I went to sleep and had my apocalyptic dream again, I was thinking about anti-gravity, man. And I woke up this morning and there's a video in my subscriptions about anti-gravity.
Yep.
And so I was sitting there for God knows how long contemplating over and over about anti-gravity, and I'm just thinking, I mean, the mainstream scientists, there was a video that I watched yesterday as well about perpetual motion and free energy, and you got two opposing views in there, and one guy keeps coming on there talking about how science says this can't be done and that can't be done, and they kept on saying, but the wheel keeps turning, you know. This guy built this giant wheel and it's still turning, and the guy's saying, oh well, you know, it has wind maybe moving it or something like that, you know, but it has turned continuously at the same RPM ever since he built the thing.
Yeah.
And this science guy, every time there's one of these deals come out there, and he said, well, you know, this just doesn't, no, you can't do it, you know, you can't get something from nothing. But yet,
as far as he's concerned, it said it in a textbook when he was in primary school, and yeah, he can't get his brain around the fact that maybe that textbook was wrong, because a science theory, and I say this every week, a science theory, I want everyone to concentrate on that word theory, it is not science fact. It is science theory. It's someone's best guess.
Yeah, and it matches right there. Matches right there with faith. You know, you can't prove either one. But either way, both of them go back to the Big Bang Theory says that something came from nothing. You know?
Yep.
So does creation. Something came from nothing. So all of us can agree that in the beginning, nobody knows how it started. Am I wrong?
No, you're dead right, mate.
And so with that said, you know, why spend all the time sitting there arguing over, you know, whether my spiritual belief is wrong and your science is right, vice versa, whatever. But either way, back to the anti-gravity, you know, if you look out there in space, you got to create gravity. It's not,
yep,
it's not like down here where you have to have anti-gravity to escape gravity. In space, you got to create gravity so that your legs and everything don't turn to mush because you're in space and it's you're floating around.
Yeah.
So you got something as huge as the Earth. It's kind of like floating out there, and you know what's holding up the sun? What's holding up the Earth? You know, it's like is everything falling downward? You know, is there a gravitational force at the bottom? Is there a gravitational force at the top? What is holding it all together? What holds the electron, the proton, and neutron together? Even scientists say it's magic. They don't know.
Yeah.
So why is it they look at us and tell us we're crazy when we tell them things like anti-gravity's real, teleportation, real, all of it, real, you know?
Yeah.
It's mind-boggling to me.
Teleportation is something they've been working on. They may have only been able to transmit an atom, but still, that's better than nothing.
We're transporting our voices across international boundaries, brother.
Yep.
Now, if we are energy and you can transmit energy, then teleportation is real.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Dead right.
To get me from point A to B would take some serious calculation so that I don't come out with my nose on my ass instead of on my face. But it is possible. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
I'm sorry about the whole ass thing, but
I think we'll survive that. We've got Thomas in here.
How you doing, Thomas?
All right. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, we hear you great. Good to see you, brother.
That thing you were saying about there not being gravity in space, but actually that's not true. There's gravity pretty much everywhere. It's just concentrated in direction when you get close to objects. In space, it's just randomized, so it's pulling in all directions at once.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. We only have the terminology that science will allow, and they say gravity, okay? They're trying to say they don't even know what gravity is. I know what gravity is, and everybody should know what gravity is. I'm not even going to say it anymore, but I know what it is.
Well, the point is, though, if you're far enough from the main body, you start being pulled on everything else, and they can measure that out there. Like, they can actually measure the difference between the pull from the sun versus the pull from the Earth as their probes move out away from the Earth. So, you know, they know that you know, basically gravitational directional pull gets more weaker and weaker and weaker until you get more and more random pulls from all different directions. So luckily it gets weaker, because I mean if it didn't, while it was pulling in different directions, when you get far enough away from one body, it would just basically tear you apart, because one would be pulling one way and the other would be pulling the other way.
Well, yeah.
In half.
But see, we live in an electric universe, and everything's magnetically coupled. The same thing that holds our planets and everything in orbit with one another is the same thing that holds a proton and neutron and electron in orbit with one another. Otherwise, everything would fly apart like you're talking about. So, you know, with that said, if you got a massive magnetic field on the sun, which is millions of miles away from us, and you got a magnetic field on the Earth, both of these fields are fluctuating at any given time depending on how much energy is being created at any given time. So with these fluctuating fields, somehow or another, they magically couple to one another and keep each other from slinging out into space. So, you know, why isn't that every time we go around the sun, we get slingshotted out past Mars and back, you know? You see what I'm saying?
You dropped out there. I didn't hear what you said about why is it we... And then
let me try it again. I said, why isn't it every time we go around the sun that we don't get slingshotted out around Mars and back, you know?
Yeah, the further away you get, the worse it gets. Pluto was mistaken to be believed to be another planet for a while. That was their mysterious Planet X, and it was because it was actually coming in closer to the sun than the other planets that basically orbit around the sun out there, and then going out further away. So it's moving more like a comet and less like a planet, really. And the longer it goes, the worse it gets.
Well, if you want to test a theory to see how this universe stays together, you go out and get you some neosphere, some round neodymium magnets. And you make sure that you don't do the mistake and cut yourself like I did, because I put them in a glass so that I could see them, and two of them sucked together and exploded
Devil
the glass. Yeah, and cut my hand really bad. Well, either way, you put them out there on the table, and you move one of those magnets in any direction, and all of those magnets will move with that one magnet that you just moved, because all the fields out there will couple with each other and interact with each other. Now, if they're too close to each other, they'll literally flip around and the fields will basically suck the two magnets together and explode the glass and cut your hand like it did mine. But you can see, you can literally see the reaction happen, and you can take a coil of wire, you can hook a pulse to that coil of wire, and as that coil of wire is kicking off and on, you can actually watch the interaction of that magnetic field with those neospheres. They'll jump every time that field fluctuates. And so, you know, with that said, if you look at it, that the universe has all these planets, and, you know, even the moon has a magnetic field, believe it or not. There must be some heat or something going on to the moon that actually keeps it electrified, because it has a magnetic field. Not near as strong as the Earth, which is good, because the moon's a lot closer to the to us than the sun is, and if it had too strong of a magnetic field, then it would literally suck the moon right to the Earth. And there's another reason why we are not flying off the Earth. The Earth is spinning around at 1,000 miles an hour on its axis. Centrifugal force, according to the laws of physics and science, it should throw us out into space.
Exactly. Exactly. This is something I've discussed with people at random all the time, is about gravity. Now, gravity, as we know it in a textbook, is a pulling force that pulls us down to the Earth.
Yep.
I want everyone who's listening right now to concentrate on a feeling around their shoulders. Do you feel something pulling from underneath your shoulders, or do you feel a weight on top of your shoulders? For every action is an equal and opposite reaction. That's what physics says. So how can, you know, you just hit the nail right on the head, Shaziz. Centrifugal force should pull us clean off the face of the Earth, and it doesn't.
That's well, you're looking at a balancing act. I mean, if we weren't spinning at the speed we're spinning at, we would not have been able to evolve like we are. We'd probably be like flat pancake monsters or something, because it'd be so, there'd be so much pull.
Well, here's the thing.
Wait, so hang on, where's the pull come from? Centrifugal force is what happens when you spin an object.
Right. That's the gravity. The gravity, though, is still attracting you to it.
Yeah,
that's
well...
It's an attraction and a I guess you call that... flinging action and repulsion that's balancing out.
Our Earth has a magnetic field.
To basically move around and do what we do instead of either flying off or getting squashed on the ground.
Yeah.
You
equal and opposite reactions. So it cancels itself out.
You take your, to get you a voltmeter, if you have access to a voltmeter right now, pick up that voltmeter, put it on millivolts, and hold that voltmeter with your fingers. And you will see that you are actually producing a field. You are actually producing energy in the millivolt range. The reason why we aren't flying off is because we have iron in our blood. We have a magnetic field that is created by the electrical currents that is running through our body. We have such a minuscule magnetic field that we're not flattened by the magnetic field. If we had tons of iron in it, look, you can see this. You could take iron, which you know is really highly magnetic. You can magnetize iron, and iron is really super heavy. That's because the magnetic field of the Earth is dragging it down. You know, anything with iron in it, your body has iron in its blood. You have a magnetic quality to you, but it's such a minuscule magnetic quality, just enough to hold you on the Earth, but not enough to flatten you like a pancake. You see what I'm saying?
Your internet's a little choppy this morning, Shaziz. You just cut out again.
Did I really? I hear you guys great.
Did you hear us say it happened again?
Oh, no, I missed that
part. Oh, there we go.
Well, it's quite windy outside, so if for some reason we lose it... okay, the
yeah, that's my internet.
Hey, yeah. There's Stalker.
How you doing there, Stalker?
Just stalking us all in the background.
Okay, I'm okay.
Good, buddy.
So, I'm saying that we live in an electrical universe. Everything works off of magnetics, electromagnetics, and the reason why we're not being slung off into space is because we have magnetic quality ourselves. You know, like a fat guy, he's heavier than a skinny guy. You know, you say, okay, well, that's because of the mass. Well, if we were in space, that fat guy and the skinny guy would float the same. There's no gravitational pull sucking them down.
Oh, I think mass has something to do with that.
Oh, yeah, because there's more iron in the blood. There's more of electrical field going on there. So they're heavier. I know. Am I crazy?
Well, I don't know. I mean, iron is not anywhere near as conductive as, say, aluminum, and yet aluminum is incredibly light.
Yeah.
So,
well, iron is also...
Copper isn't really much heavier, and it's extraordinarily conductive compared to iron.
Yeah, but...
Yeah,
it's just a bare slight amount of, you know...
But it's less... But it's less magnetic than iron.
Yeah, but the lead is heavier.
Right, so since electricity and magnetism are tied together, then why is it that copper isn't more magnetic and iron is less magnetic? Since it's less conductive. Or vice versa, the iron is more conductive than the copper.
Well, you raised some good valid
Does
points.
It?
It's
Does
magic.
It come down to the type of the type of magnetism and frequency, maybe.
It's highly probable, man. I'm just saying you can
I don't know. They're looking at density and whatnot when it comes to atoms, and that the algorithm seems to work for the amount of electrons versus protons and neutrons in the, you know, in the makeup whenever it comes to reconfiguring them together.
Yep.
I mean, that's how they're basically keeping everything sorted out, is that they look at how many parts of one thing they can stick to, how many parts of another.
You can pick up paper. You can pick up paper with freaking balloon, man. You rub that balloon on your hair and you can pick up paper. Why is that?
Charging up the static electricity in it. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Why is it that the highly ordered graphite is able to basically float over a magnet and repels away from the magnet no matter what way you place it.
Well, therein is the holy grail of what we're all looking for, the all free energy, because there are materials out there that aren't magnetic, but they have qualities like the bismuth that has the quality to some extent.
When he comes back, we might have to give him a chuck of something and get him to have a fiddle.
You guys can't hear me again?
Again, maybe chuck a song on, brother, and have a bit of a muck around with what's going on that end.
All right, we'll just reload. Just call me back on Skype, because we'll probably just have to reset that. Because the Sam is doing fine.
All right. Well, cool.
All right, call me back.
Will do. Get out of here.
Yay. All right, well, while they're waiting to call me back, I'm going to throw on a song, and this is the first one that I see, so I'll just throw that one on. Do-do-do-do-do-do.
When I die and the something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop.
Thomas came up with a new slogan. Let's hear it, Thomas. For your new business.
For a new express service?
Yeah.
It absolutely, positively has to be there before you sent it.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, brother.
I need that package yesterday. Done. We'll just go with the TARDIS Express.
I just need you to go back and move that coffee table that I stubbed my toe on a couple years back, because it hurt. Like, you know what?
Does it still hurt?
Well, not really, but it psychologically, yeah, I'm scarred.
You're scarred for more than the coffee table incident. You're careful around hot coffee tables now to not stub your toe?
Well, I can be careful as I like, but see, my wife has this thing about rearranging, you know. She likes to get the feng shui of the room going on, and so she, whenever she sees something, she might decide to rearrange it, like put the coffee table 2 inches this way or 2 inches that way, and I'm used to walking through there, you know, at night.
Well,
I can walk through there.
Very grateful that you're not Helen Keller. I mean, that would have been a terrible thing for her family to keep doing that to her, you know.
Well, I'm going through.
You know where it's at.
I'm going there through there at night, you know, so as not to turn every light in the house on and wake folks up. And so I get used to where everything's at. Well, if she moves it 2 inches to the left, and I'm used to walking that path, guess where my toe ends up? Bow! Ah!
So if you make a noise, you're still waking everybody up.
Yeah.
It might be easier just to turn the lights on. At least they can't hear the lights.
Did I tell you about the time that she watched me walk into the door frame of the closet?
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was in the middle of the night, and I tried to sneak up out of bed so I could go use the restroom. Well, because I didn't want to disturb her, so I tried to be real quiet, you know, real carefully. I get up out of bed, you know. So I'm going through the dark. I make a hard arc around to the left, and my face slams right square into the door frame of the doggone closet, and I literally shook the entire house. That's how hard I hit. And she said, I watched the whole thing, and and the first thing she was telling me, she said she couldn't help but laugh. She said, I was trying to figure out whether you were all right or not, but it was so funny because I watched the whole thing happen. And I'm like, man, you mean I snuck through there and smashed my face for nothing? I was trying to keep from waking
good
you up.
She was just being kind and being quiet in case you were sleepwalking. She didn't want to
wake me up.
Didn't want to scare you awake.
Yeah.
That's supposed to be dangerous.
Well,
to
all
wake somebody up while they're in the middle of sleepwalking. Probably for that reason. You probably did. You probably were sleepwalking and ran into that thing. And woke you up.
Trust me, I was wide awake and I had to go to the can, but it was dark and my eyes hadn't. What's that? You know how, like, whenever it's light inside the room or whatever, dark, you try to get your eyes to adjust to the darkness
or
whatever?
You're saying your eyes adjusted to the brightness of your dream that you had just before you woke up or something?
Yeah, something like that. But whatever, for whatever reason, I had the impression of a door frame stuck to my face. And I shook the whole house. And she's like, are you all right? And I was like, yeah, I guess so. I'm seeing stars.
In this house, you don't want to accidentally not be awake when you're walking through this house, because there's like two sets of steps you have to get up to get to the kitchen. So,
well, in the middle of the night, you know what you would hear if I was there? Thump, 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 thump.
Yeah.
Ah!
and that laughter is what you would hear right afterwards.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I heard from Beverly. But you know, I got wise. I started putting the flashlight on the nightstand, and so I said, you know what? I'm using the flashlight. I don't care who I wake up. I ain't hitting the door frame again. So there we go. Now where are we? Where were we? Something
where,
like that.
Oh, it's the round table, Shazis.
Oh yeah, that's it.
Where are we going?
See, I told you I was traumatized. Go back and move that coffee table, Thomas. It changed my life. That
you should be glad. That sounds like it made a positive change there.
Yeah, she's now scared of coffee tables.
Yeah.
Well, back
kind of like that hot stove becoming hot, scared of hot stoves. You know.
You know how I'm always talking about negativity, throwing positive pebbles. I'm always talking about throwing positive pebbles out in the world instead of negativity. Well, back in them days, you know. If I stubbed my toe, it was every bleep and curse word under the sun. And it took me forever and a day to refrain from hitting, every curse word. If there wasn't a cuss word in the book, I made it up. All right? I created my own. So now if I stub my toe, I'm trying to, when I stub my toe, it's like, thank you, Jesus, you know?
He's just trying to teach you a new lesson that is required. Yeah. Watch out for coffee tables.
Yeah, because... Oh, man. What a world we live in. But anyway, you know, there's like so much exciting stuff going on, man. It's just, where do you start, man? Where do you finish? We were talking about gravity, you know. What is gravity? Science don't know what gravity is. They don't know. Both of us can agree that it all pretty much came from one little point in space, and poof, it was all here. And so my whole deal was, I said, why sit around and argue about who's right, whether it's the faithful or the science guy or whatever? You know, we got a lot of stuff we need to be taken care of, you know. There's things happening in the world that we can figure out, you know, like starvation. We can feed people, you know. We have that technology. Am I wrong?
Actually, about free energy, they're telling us everything was made up of nothing, and they're telling us we can't make energy from nothing.
Nothing, yeah.
Well, the whole universe was made from nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that brings tip to another point. I watched a video yesterday, and it was like opposing views. This one science guy, he kept on talking about how perpetual motion wasn't possible because you can't get energy from nothing, even though, like you just said, they said that something came from nothing with the Big Bang, and their science and their physics is all written in stone according to them. And it was funny because the commentator of the video, I'll have to find this link and share it with everybody. It was I liked it. So if you're on Google Plus or whatever, you would have seen that I liked a video or whatever. But anyway, as the guy is talking about how it's not possible, there's a guy that built this real giant wheel, and the wheel's still turning. And so after he gets through with his little commentary about how it's not possible, and the other guy says, and the wheel keeps on turning.
Yeah, I watched that.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about then?
Yeah, that's the guy in France. Italy, Hans.
that's the guy in France. That's the one that, if you watch the person that's supposed to be, there's supposed to be some sort of prize that if you can create perpetual motion, you'll get that
10,000.
That guy worked a magic that lawyers would love to work to get out of giving that guy his money.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, it figures. You know, to this date, if you go to the U.S. Patent Office and you try to patent anything that says perpetual motion in there or insinuates perpetual motion, then you're not getting a patent. And that's why I keep trying to tell everybody in the alternative energy community. You know, you got guys like Keshi out there who claim that they have anti-gravity technology and technology that he wants everybody to send him money before he will give the secret away. If you got that possibility I agree with you. If you got that possibility to change all of humanity towards a positive fashion and only thing you can think about is money, then I don't have no faith in you at all. So with that said, I've been telling everybody in the alternative energy community, if you ever get any of your ideas out there onto the marketplace, you're not going to be able to patent it, because if you try to patent it, they're either going to suppress it, or they're going to do you in, or make you look stupid and nobody will take you serious. You put the idea out there, people put it together, they see that it does work, they tell their friends that it does work, and they pass the information on. And, you know, there's folks out there that can't build it. You can make money building them and putting them together for people. You know, you send them a working device as opposed to sending them plans, you know. Anytime somebody out there wants to sell me free energy plans, I just walk away because, you know, I send them $40 for some plans for some free energy device. I get the plans together. I put it all together and everything, and it doesn't work. And then I ask them, you know, hey, okay, I just did this. Why don't it work? He said, well, you must have done something wrong. You know? How can I prove that I didn't do something wrong? I don't know. It was his plans.
I guess you could give him a disclaimer and tell him, look, if I give you this money and it doesn't work, it will be the last $40 you get because I'm going to expose you.
Yeah, that's...
Now, are you sure you want my $40?
I will pass your details like the cultist.
That's what needs to be done. I mean, that's why virtual labs is so important, is that we can sit there and, you know, live on camera, you know, scrutinize these doggone things. And when all eyes are on your lab and all questions are aimed at your lab, you're under the gun. You can't fake stuff. Pick that up and let me see underneath there. Take that apart. Let me see inside there, you know.
Right.
And if you can't do that, then you got something to hide.
Yep.
Anybody who's doing it for money does not have to, if they have a real working device, they don't have to sell anything. Because, I mean, how much a month do you spend on electricity?
Oh, a lot.
How much a month do you spend on gasoline?
Not only that, there's a $1 million prize out there for anyone who can come up with a working free energy device.
What I'm saying is, if you're trying to sell something, because, you know, these people trying to sell, I think they're after more than $1 million. They want some sort of, you know, lie to a feed of money when they're selling plans.
No. The thing is with these people, mate, is that they don't have anything in the first place, and they're penny grubbing
that's exactly what I'm saying. And what I'm saying is, if you want a constant line of money, your best choice of action, if you're really that greedy, is just build the equipment for yourself, run your own equipment, and save your money.
Uh-huh.
You know, start a business that runs off it. You know,
well, and they're
outfit an entire trucking line on, you know, electric engines that are run off of perpetual motion, so you don't have to pay a nickel for diesel, and then you get just pure profit off of every delivery, you know?
There ain't, right. And you hit it on the nail there, Thomas. The key to the whole deal is, if you got it, build it. If you don't, if you want to make money off the doggone thing, then just run your house off of it. Prove to everybody you're running your house off of it.
You don't even have to prove anything to anybody. What I'm saying is, if they're selling it, if they're in it for the plans for the money, you know it doesn't work, because if it really worked, they'd be using it. They'd be making all the money they need right there.
Yep.
So the money isn't the objective if it works. The money is the objective because it doesn't work. Because they're still paying for gasoline. They're still paying for electricity. So they need you to send their salvation of their little, you know, pamphlet of information that's supposed to save you from, you know, the electric demon, the electric devil, and in order to basically, you know,
now,
pay for that electricity they need.
I could justify somebody who would be willing to, like, send their design, their complete design, to Virtual Labs with a non-disclosure agreement that we would build it, we would test it, and if it works, then they get all the credit for it. You know, I could go that route. You know, but if they want to say, well, you pay me for the plans, and then you go and build it, and not, you know.
Not happening.
Yeah, it ain't gonna work.
It ain't gonna happen. Nope. That's why we can have, and we do have the people available to set these things up, is the non-disclosures and the non-disclosure contracts, and basically that protects you from us being able to rip you off. But that also, you know, if you wish to go down the road of patenting your device, then we're there to protect you. If you go missing, like, you know, if you do a Stanley Myers, and you know, that you won't be the only person who knows how this device works.
Exactly.
You know? So if you go missing, a legacy can be left behind. And we're not out of profiteer. I'm sure everyone knows that.
And so, if you go into the patent process, you have to be aware, especially in the United States, there are factions that will look at your design before they ever even send it through the patent deal. That way they can claim whether it's a national security risk or not. And so if it's a national security risk, such as most of our world economies are based on fossil fuels, and if anybody comes out with a free energy device that could hinder that process in any way, then they claim that as a national security risk. So you put the information out there to one another, and you build it on a one-to-one basis with each other, and you have the device. You know, you put it out there on the market. You put yourself right in the line of fire. You put yourself up for whatever comes toward you. And I won't do that, because my ultimate goal is, whenever I solve my problems with my energy device, I'm going to put it out there to everybody and his brother as fast as humanly possible, so that it can't get suppressed.
Yep, in a replicatable form, so that every man and his dog, no matter, you know,
what
your background, you'll be able to follow these plans and put it together yourself. And no, we're not charging you for the plans. No, we're not charging you, you know, open source, where we're going to have a special little part that you have to buy to make it work or anything like that. It'll just be, here's how you do it.
Yep, there you go.
Make any improvements, you have to give those improvements away in order to get the plans that are downloadable for free and usable, you know.
Yep.
That's how basically Linux works. You can use it for free, you can download it for free, you can do whatever you want to it for free. If you make any improvements, though,
you have to give back to the community.
You can make improvements and not give it to anybody, but if you make it available to anyone, you can't do it for money.
Yeah, exactly.
It has to be for free.
If you
release it out to the public, it has to be released for free.
And that's why Linux is such a good platform.
Not just you have to give the technology for free. You have to give the source to it, so others can look at it too. So they know there's no foolishness in it. You know, no keyloggers, no, you know, snoopware, no spyware, no, you know, lameware.
Yeah.
It's all just, you know, open and above board, that somebody can, you know, have a look at it, and if there's something bad in it, they're going to go, whoa, tell everybody about it.
See, Linux is...
And they cleaned it out.
Linux is a prime example of what can be done by the people, because if you look at Linux, most of the internet works off of Linux. And it's a good platform. It's free. You ain't got corporations like Microsoft or whatever behind the scenes, you know, messing with stuff. It's out there in the open.
Yep, there's a lot of hardware that has NSA snoopware though built into the actual hardware itself. So,
well, then we got to start building hardware. Yep.
I think that was kind of the point behind the Raspberry Pi. So, everything about it was basically designed by the builders. So,
well, no matter how you look at it. If we're ever to advance as humanity, it's going to have to be us to do it, because there's too many interests out there that want to keep their wallets fat, and they don't want anything like hydrogen power being out there, and you know, because it's
going to have to be from, you know, libertarian charity. That means charity that's not at the end of a gun. It's given freely.
Yeah.
You give it because you really want to, because you feel bad for seeing other people, you know, in harm. Not because somebody says, I'm going to throw you into a rape room called a prison and, you know, hold you at gunpoint if you don't give us that percentage of your money.
Well, see, the whole...
Because, I mean, if they force you to give that money away, that basically makes you a partial slave. And, you know, why is it okay to be a 50% slave but not 100% slave?
They say that we're nutcases if we believe in or question any kind of conspiracy or anything like that. But if you've got to step back and you look at the entire picture, you know, what purpose would they have for suppressing technology? What purpose? The only purpose that you got to suppress technology would be for power or money. That's it.
Well, yeah. And speaking of suppression of technology, you know, it's very, very peculiar to me that an extremely profitable, we're talking like millions of dollars a month profitable business known as Mt. Gox would suddenly run away with like $1 or $2 million worth of bitcoins.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody thought about that? I mean, you know, it was so, this is the thing, is that Mt. Gox was basically by the media hyped up as being Bitcoin. If they fell, then basically Bitcoin went away. It was no good.
But see, just the mere fact to me that it came under attack was telling me that it was working.
Yep. Exactly. That means that basically somebody has something to fear from it.
Yep. And the bankers out there, if they see that there's a private industry such as alternative money, and they see that it's starting to hinder their profits, they need to get that under control. So they'll go buy into it themselves just so they can destroy it.
Well, I was going to say, just so you know, too, we were talking about Linux. Bitcoin is the Linux of the dollars, of the
it's
money.
It's the open source platform of money, yeah.
Right,
and
exactly.
It's controlled by the community. So.
Right, exactly. Verified by the community, backed by the community. I mean, the whole thing is worked through the community.
So there's two prime examples of how we, the people, can actually have power. Another prime example is barter. You know, you got something that somebody needs, they got something you need, you just trade straight across the board. There's no tax involved in barter. You know what I'm saying?
I like bartering.
Well, you got anything you want to swap? I got all kinds of junk.
Yeah, I do.
Now, only problem is you can't barter for
you can't
service.
You can't.
Not yet.
You can't trade human, Shannon.
Darn it.
Okay. You can't bring a grandchild home and leave me there. Sorry.
Man, oh, no, no.
I thought I had it.
That's not a fair trade.
Oh, thanks, Jesus. I thought you loved me.
I do, but when you look at my grandbaby, oh, she got those beady little eyes, and she look up at you, and, Grandpa, I want some milk. And I'm like, okay, baby, I'll get you some.
I cannot wait.
She got me tied around her little finger, man.
Every time Cultus turns around, I have a baby in my arms.
Yeah, she takes me to the store to buy jeans, right? I go into the store with her. She sits down, she's like, go in the change room, try on these jeans. So I go in the change room, try on the first pair of jeans. I come back out, she's sitting there with some woman, like, you know, no baby in sight and all the rest, you know. They both have a bit of a giggle at my butt and these new jeans, and, you know. I go back in, change into the second pair of jeans. I come out, baby. Really?
And like, she got a big smile on her face.
We go to the bowling alley the other night. Right? I take the young fella off for 5 minutes. We go play some video games. I come back, baby.
Hey.
I don't even know where she gets these babies from. They just appear.
She's like a baby magnet. Hey, Coltis, while you were at the bowling alley, did you bowl?
No.
Oh, why not?
I played video games with the young fella.
Oh, well, bowling's
Z-Man.
Bowling's kind
of
cool.
Video, I have pictures of Coltis. I snuck in this game room and was taking pictures of Coltis and Z playing video games, and I was cracking up.
I can't wait to see that.
It was funny. Oh, they were funny.
Yeah.
So how excited are you to see us coming?
Oh, I'm really excited. I'm even cleaning house.
Oh, don't.
That's what I said. I go, it better look lifting because I'm not the queen.
Well, it's not going to be like spotless.
I want no like red carpet rolled out the door as I turn up, Shaziz.
Yeah, I just don't want you falling over stuff.
Yeah.
Like coffee tables?
Yeah, coffee tables. I get used to where the coffee table is, and by George, she turns around and moves it.
I change my house around when I have one, like once a month. I'm very OCD about it, so... Yeah.
Yeah,
I know how that is.
That was all.
Well, you should have tried bowling, Coltis. It's
well,
funny,
I've bowled
man.
Before. Just, I have bowled before.
Just remember to let go of the ball.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was a league night with with her sister and their group, so I didn't want to jump in and impose. So I would have probably been playing with myself.
Maybe we can go bowling. I ain't been bowling in a long time.
Yeah?
Yeah. Get liquored up and then go bowling.
You should have been there last night.
I heard all about it.
Great.
Oh, you didn't hear all about it.
It was great.
Dame Shannon was really scared when I drank my second beer. She thought I was going to end up drunk as a skunk and falling over people. And, oh, how are you, Shannon? How are you? No, man.
I think it scared his drunkenness out when I'm like, I'll leave you. I mean,
no one understands what an Australian's like.
Hey, he's from Australia and he can hold his.
Well, we decided that it might be good for him to drive because then, you know, he could say,
I'm not drunk, is he?
From Australia.
I'll just drive straight down the yellow line and be like, oh, I got confused. I forgot which side I was meant to be on.
Brother, you can't claim diplomatic immunity.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Anyway,
what I can try and what I can get away with are two different things. Shaziz.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hanging out with you guys. We'll have some fun.
We're gonna have a ball.
Z-Man's excited too.
Anyway, what were we talking about before there? Doggone it, Thomas. Do you remember what we were talking about?
Not at all.
We got Stalker back yet?
Grande.
So how's life on your side of the planet, brother?
It's, the weather is okay. It's very sunny.
Oh, cool.
And working on some stuff.
What are you working on?
I found ZVS driver.
A what?
A ZVS driver for a flyback transformer.
Oh, cool.
And I was thinking to feedback the ZVS to try charging some batteries.
Be a pretty fast pulse system going on there.
What?
A high frequency pulse charger.
Yeah. I don't want to say it, but I want to try if it can charge its own battery.
Just make sure you keep an eye on the heat this time.
And while you're at it, do some experiments with fluorescent bulbs and plasma. You know, get you some fluorescent bulb starters with the argon gas in there. And while you're running those frequencies, see if you can energize that gas inside there.
That's a great idea. I have some of this. Cool. Actually, I wanted to ask something, Coltis.
Yeah, mate.
Yeah, I saw some of your ZVS videos.
Yeah.
Can I take those turns 5+5
yeah.
and make them like an air cord?
I don't know.
And just smash tesla coil from it. Yeah, air core.
I don't know. I don't see why not.
Well, what
it would just be a matter of tuning.
What I did with a couple of my coils is I built a capacitor layer inside the coil. And
that thing's a nasty little beast.
Oh, yeah, fat boy. That's the only one that scares me. That one there hurt you.
We're so getting that fired up when I get there. I don't see any reason why you couldn't. It would just be a matter of tuning it, because the 5+5 is designated for the ferrite core, so you will have to play around with the amount of turns that you're going to need.
Yeah, because I saw some of the guys using a ZVS driver to make an induction heater, and some of them were using straight up the +5 turns.
With
no isolation transformer.
Okay.
Also, kind of on a little bit of a different subject, but I'm working on a self-powered hydrogen cell. I had this crazy idea. You know, batteries have they produce hydrogen, and they got a little vent that they tell you that you're not supposed to spark near a battery because that hydrogen can literally explode that battery. And so that got me thinking, why couldn't you power your own hydrogen cell by making the hydrogen cell itself the battery? And so I put together a little mini prototype, and I had the two separate metals for the battery portion of it, and then I had two stainless plates, and I used salt, and then I used a little bit of lemon juice, and I could sit there and watch as this thing was producing hydrogen. Now, keep in mind, I only had two probes in there for the battery, and only two plates for the hydrogen portion, but it was producing hydrogen. And at the same time, I had the voltmeter up there, and so you could see that once the chemistry was all together, that you could literally watch the voltage on the thing. And I also put in some couple galvanized just galvanized sheet metal, and had a galvanic reaction going on there at the same exact time, which actually increased the voltage in that chemical battery that I created. Anybody follow what I just said?
Yeah, I'm just chewing it over, thinking.
I'll show you when you get here. You can watch it bubbling. You can watch it actually creating.
Well, hydrogen cell, even in its simplest form, its simplest brute force form, which is, you know, a dozen stainless steel plates, is effectively like, you know, I don't know, battery capacitor. It's definitely a capacitor.
And
the water's your dielectric.
You're just basically overcharging that capacitor.
Exactly, and make it break through the dielectric, and by breaking through the dielectric, you're making the hydrogen and oxygen separate.
So essentially, what I was doing was running the battery into itself, and you could watch the hydrogen being created. Don't everybody jump to the microphone at once. You might chip a tooth.
You didn't want me to jump to the microphone right then. I was blowing my schnoz.
Oh, wow.
I didn't want to talk because I knew you would hear him blowing his schnoz.
My first runny nose in 20 years.
Hey, welcome to America.
Yep, sure.
Anyway, I believe there's something to it, so I'm actually going to build a better cell than what I actually created. And you could actually you could see the reaction when the galvanized metal, it was actually turning black, and you could watch the crud coming up off of that galvanized sheet metal. But the galvanized sheet metal wasn't connected to anything, but it raised the voltage up 50%. I mean, it started off at like 32 volts, or 0.32 volts, and then it went up to 0.61 or 62 volts afterwards. And I actually had it as high as 74 volts.
Yeah.
0.74 volts. And
yeah, you can actually...
Go ahead.
Yeah, you can actually try making it with a little stronger acids, like sulfuric acid or salt. Yeah, sulfuric acid would be okay.
Well, as long as it's got water, that's the key. It has to have the water for the hydrogen portion of it. And I don't want making...
You can't have sulfuric acid without water. It turns into a gas.
Yeah, I don't want to make any toxic fumes and a bad chemical reaction. But I believe that if this thing is done right, you could actually build it like a battery, more like a saltwater battery.
Yeah, a voltage doubler's put together, don't
you? Go ahead.
Voltage doubler?
I got a couple designs for those.
I'm thinking a bunch of hydrogen cells and diodes.
That would probably work. Anyway, the thing was sending energy into itself, creating the hydrogen. So instead of having a battery on the outside of your hydrogen cell, the battery is the hydrogen cell. Because, like I said, a lot of the batteries used to have, I don't know if they still do, but they had a label on there, a warning label, that that thing would produce hydrogen. That's what gave me the idea to begin with.
Well, you're going to have to use components that don't break down, though. That's the one thing. So that means, like, your metal has to be something that's not going to oxidize sulfurize if you're using sulfuric acid, and basically break down and destroy your battery. Process.
Yeah, and that's
you might start looking into how to make your own graphitic carbon nitride. It's basically urea, like they use for making fertilizing your lawn.
Yeah,
you can buy that as pure urea at the lawn garden store, and then you just bake that with a cover on it, like seal it up so that it's under pressure. You still have a pressure release valve, but you don't want it just, you know, like open air. And then cook that at about 450 degrees for about 4 hours, and you can basically turn about a pound of that stuff into about 4 ounces of the graphitic carbon nitride, which, if you buy it online, is about $1,000 for just 10 grams. So a lot cheaper to make it yourself.
Well, The metals in there that I had in there, I had galvanized wire, I had copper tubing, and I had stainless steel, and I used the galvanized plates as like a sacrificial metal, and that's what the majority of the crud came from. Everything in there galvanized turned black, but the copper was fine, and the stainless was fine. And so, you know... You're right, I need to do some tests on different types of materials, but so far, you know...
Yeah, if we can find out what the base is, they've got that black conductive paint that's basically some sort of paint body that makes a ton of powdered graphite into.
Yeah.
Instead of get the base without the graphite in it, and then mix that up with that graphitic carbon nitride onto the components that basically are galvanized. Or use something that's not galvanized. I mean... You can use anything you want. The graphitic carbon nitride works to split hydrogen and oxygen because the nitrogen is trying to attach to the hydrogen and the oxygen, and it actually creates more of a pull on both of those atoms than they have against each other. And the carbon that's in that matrix stops it from actually being able to bond to the nitrogen. So it's like having a magnet behind like a wall where whenever it warms up, it's like pulling the magnet back away from the wall, and anything that's stuck to the wall falls. So your hydrogen and oxygen is stuck to the wall, and now whenever it heats up, it falls away and it comes loose as just raw hydrogen and oxygen.
Well, I think that a hydrogen cell that is self-powered, I think that would be an awesome thing to have, because if you could just set it there and have it running its own power, you know, maybe every once in a while you'd have to pulse a little bit of energy to it, because I took a 9-volt battery, and every so often I would hit it with a 9-volt battery, which would charge the cell back up, and because you could watch the voltage, it was dropping down. It wasn't dropping down rapidly, but it was dropping down, you know, gradually, until it got down to about 31 or 32 volts, and it never went lower than that. I left it there all night long.
How were you hooking the 9-volt battery up whenever you charged it back up?
Well,
hooking it up backwards to, like, force energy back in, like, positive, negative to negative?
force the energy back into it?
Yeah, that's I hooked it positive to positive and negative to negative, and it would go up to like 1 point, about okay. 1.5 volts, and then
right.
It,
I can tell you what you were doing there, because you do that whenever you're making jewelry. It's called descaling, where you basically hit something with a higher voltage in reverse, and it knocks all the crud off of something you just cast by pulling a thin layer of the metal off with it. It's like reverse electroplating, where you're pulling the stuff off of whatever's being electroplated to clean it up.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
So you're just basically not diminishing your galvanized materials in there.
So I'm going to try some different metals outside of using galvanized. I'm going to take galvanized completely out of the system, but I do know that while the thing was actually, you know, a chemical battery, it was putting juice back into itself on the opposite side. The two metals, the stainless steel, you know, they're the same type of metals, but it was doing the electrolysis, and it was actually bubbling up. You could actually sit there and watch it as it bubbled whenever it was sitting there by itself running.
Right. Hey, if nothing else, that's an extra way to basically make a regular battery more efficient, because anytime you dissolve metals into an acid, you usually get a hydrogen release. Think about it. If you've ever done what they call a hydrogen bomb, where you stick some aluminum foil in a bottle with some muriatic acid and then close it up, throw it out in the water, and it eventually pops. It's because of all the hydrogen that builds up in the bottle from the aluminum bonding with the chlorine in the muriatic acid. It causes the water to break apart. And that hydrogen, if you're collecting that, instead of letting it build up until it pops, you could literally use that to run a hydrogen cell and generate some more electricity off it instead of throwing it away.
Well, that's what we're all about, is taking all the waste energy, because just about every appliance out there wastes energy. And so if we can find a way around, you know, instead of wasting it via heat, use the heat, vice versa, you know, the potentials are unlimited. I still, nobody's ever going to convince me that there isn't such thing called free energy, you know. Maybe the terminology just isn't right, because we're not really creating anything. It's already there. We're just tapping into it, but there's creative ways by which you can tap into it that, you know, would be clean energy. And isn't that what the even the mainstream media hollers, they want clean, renewable energy, but they never get off their you-know-whats and do anything about it. The technology's out there. They spend the majority of their time mocking the folks that are out there trying to create stuff. And I've noticed that it's usually the craziest guy in the crowd who comes up with the best idea.
Yeah, you know? I was going to say, if they're not mocking people who are trying to do something, they're also serving up the daily dose of fear porn, showing us all the people that got hit by cars, and people that got mugged, and, you know, people that have been raped and whatnot, making everybody basically think that the whole world is basically completely and totally violent, because for every 1,000 people that walk across the street without getting hit by a car that they don't report, they come along and only report the one guy who got clipped while he's walking across the street, you know?
Have you guys noticed an escalation of roundabouts being put around your cities?
Yes.
All right. Roundabouts. Those are those little things, instead of intersections, they have you go around in a circle to get to wherever it is you're going.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the newest thing that I've heard on TV is that they just said it on the news this morning, that Al-Qaeda supposedly put out this deal that says that they're going to try to get people from Americans to car bomb, you know, American cities, right? And so now I'm thinking, okay, put two and two together. I don't know how you feel about Al-Qaeda or the whole war on terror, but I think it's all a scam from the get-go. But now I'm seeing where all those roundabouts popping up, and they're all over here too, just like in your guys' states, I'm seeing they're going to start putting little boots up there, little checkpoints at each one of these to start checking these cars every time they come through there, under the guise of you could possibly be a terrorist and have a car bomb. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm not sure about that.
Like
roundabouts are all, honestly, roundabouts are a lot safer than the intersections you guys have here in the U.S.
Well, you know what? That depends.
Four-way stop signs where, like, first in, best dressed. No.
That depends
roundabout
on...
Roundabout, and you give way to the right.
That depends on the quality of the driver. If you're over in Australia and you're used to roundabouts, if you try to put a doggone American driver who has two speeds stop and extremely fast, then you got knuckleheads going to be flying around that sucker slamming into each other.
Yep.
I'm just saying,
that
man.
One thing that I think people don't like about the roundabout is that if you're trying to go straight through the intersection, you can't just go flying through the intersection because you have to turn and people have to slow down to turn.
Yeah. Now, there could be a safety benefit there, but I'm just saying, man, something stinks in Denmark. Every time they talk about some sort of possible terrorist deal, that we always get some more regulations. Now, you know, they're groping people at airports.
Nah, that didn't happen to me. That's funky people.
The other term that I've heard those called, now that you mentioned the way they work, is traffic circles.
Well, he said he didn't get groped at the airport because if you were American, you'd be getting groped because you're a possible terrorist.
I was looking up everything for citizenship this morning. I'd say it's pretty straightforward. So we might do a test. We'll see. Once I become a U.S. citizen, do I get groped when I re-enter the country?
We'll find out.
Well, I don't even have to re-enter the country because the TSA is...
I think what it is you have to refuse to be scanned.
Well, the thing is, dude, the thing is that I came in... Hang on. I came into the country with something very suspect by everyone's opinion every single time I went through a scanner. Because I had a dirty great big chunk of bismuth in the bottom of my bag, and they freaked the heck out every time. They're like, what's this? Right. What's this? No one groped me.
Why do you need to carry a bag of bismuth?
do you want to know why I needed to carry bismuth in my bag?
Yes.
The reason why was because, one, the large chunk of bismuth I own isn't cheap. They had said that I could take a 15 kilo bag, which is about 30 pound bag, on as my carry on luggage. Nowhere could we find what the dimensions of the bag were meant to be, apart from in the fine print of the terms and conditions. And it was a very, very small carry on bag. So as I was packing my bags back in Australia, I turned around and I said, I'm going to get my 30 pounds out of this.
You chuck that in there to finish it up, huh?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's about $25 a pound at the best price you can get it on eBay, so...
It's at least 12 to 15 pounds.
I don't think that's why he was asking, though. I think the reason he wanted to know is because he's probably already seen that bismuth is the strongest natural dielectric, or diamagnetic in the world. So he's wondering what curious technology you're working on with that.
Yeah, I would think you want to cheat the scans or something.
Well, definitely not. No, and trust me, it did not have that effect at all. There was this dirty grey big yellow mass at the bottom of my bag, and they're going, what's this? I literally had to stand there and explain. I even googled up bismuth crystals a few times on my phone and showed people at various airports and various customs and whatnot on my way through, and I even gave Shaziz, you should know about this. I asked Bev to pass it on to you.
I actually gave
a chunk of bismuth away to one of the customs officials because he was so interested in it. I'm like, oh, hey, you can have a small amount if it's not considered bribery. He's looked at me, he's like, nah.
Well, we got there some...
It did serve one purpose going through the airport, and that is, it gave room for me to have discussion with the people checking me out, and they worked out pretty quickly that I was human. I was just another person.
Right.
You know?
Well, we got some ideas what we could do with bismuth, but, I want to see the difference whenever you finally get your citizenship done, man. Because I want to see the difference when you go to the airport, whether you get groped or not. Because if it's just
for sure. I'll go through under the guise of a US citizen, and then when they finish groping me, I'll say, "Oh, do you want to see my Australian passport as well?"
And they'll be like,
"So, what do y'all say? We take a quick music break."
Sounds good, brother.
All right, everybody, stay tuned. You listen to the Knights of the Round Table. You're liable to hear anything today. Peace and love. Take care.
all my days. I bid farewell to old Kentucky, the place where I was born and raised, the place where he was born and raised. No pleasure here on earth I found. For in this world I'm bound to ramble, I have no friends to help me now. He has no friends to help him now. Never expect to see you again. For I'm bound to ride that northern railroad. Perhaps I'll die upon this train. Perhaps you'll die upon this train. Sleeping in my grave, while he is sleeping in his grave. Maybe your friends think I'm just a stranger, my face you never will see no on God's golden shore. He'll meet you on God's golden shore.
He fulfills the turbo. Always working, fulfills the turbo and the Knights of the Round Table.
Everybody, so King Shazizz the Terrible sitting around the round table with the Knights, Cultists and Thomas and Dublin and Stalker and Dame Shannon, and who else we got in here? Nobody? Anyway, we're over here in America. We're still under the Australian occupation, invasion. It's an army of one, ain't you, Cultists?
I am.
Hey,
wrath.
I watched. that's good. Hey, I saw a video you put out there about your sled riding adventures over there.
Oh, yes.
How'd that go, brother?
Well, the second attempt was a lot better than the first.
Well, that hill that you guys were on, where we come from, we call that like the bunny slope, you know, a speed bump. See?
That was less than the bunny slope. That was like the angel.
We need to take you down. There's a hill. There's a park down there called Blue Valley that has a real hill, you know. And what we do is we get one of them big old giant tractor inner tubes and put about 20 people on there and see who can hang on before they get to the bottom.
Cool. That sounds like fun. Did you see the second video in that series though, where we did find a hill that was a little more beneficial to sledding?
Well, that's the one I was talking about, the last one, where you actually made it, what, a 20-second ride or something like that?
Yeah, well, you know, for my first run, that wasn't bad.
Yeah, you,
I still fell off.
Well, yeah, you held your own. You wiped out like a pro.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, we got to put you on a real hill. So that way you can feel real excitement how a Missourian sled ride.
Missourian sled ride, huh?
Yeah, probably. Probably won't even be no snow by the time you get here.
We're driving past the quarry with, you know, how do you, tall rock piles, and Shannon's like, want to go sledding there?
How do you sled ride, Stalker?
Yeah, I was just saying, we have a hill here, 500 meters high, 45 degrees angle.
Cool.
That's what I'm talking about.
And so you guys are like, are you guys on a Volkswagen hood sliding down this thing, or an inner tube, or a toboggan, or a, what's those round ones are toboggans, aren't they?
Just a nylon.
Hey, I've even climbed inside a trash bag and slid down the hill.
Yeah, something like that.
Hey, where we come from, if you can't make your own homemade skis, or you don't have a toboggan or something like that, you make do with what you got. So if you got's a trash bag, jump in it and go.
Yeah. Well, sometimes you just jump on the hill and you start sliding on the
bottom. Well, when cultists...
I believe you, Craig.
Cultists, when you get around, if there is any snow, we'll try to make a smiley face snow angel and get it on film.
Alrighty, buddy.
Hey, you didn't try out the method of how to properly panic during global warming while you was there.
No, I didn't even consider that. I really should have.
Yeah, I dropped a line in one of your videos about that. I said, don't forget the video, how to properly panic during global warming. If you haven't seen that, go check it out. It's a hoot.
Yeah, Shaziz rightfully explains how you should properly panic during global warming.
Yeah, that's right, because it's a safety issue.
It is. Yeah, it must be taken very seriously, of course.
Yeah, you gotta panic properly, otherwise, you know, things will go awry, you know? Anyway,
people might think you're panicking about global cooling or something.
No, it's global warming. You got to be careful, because that stuff will get down the back of your neck, you know.
Yeah. Fall off the roof and straight down the front of your shirt. Pretty hardcore.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Old Beverly came in from the cold the other day and decided she wanted to put her cold hands down my back. I'm already cold blooded. I get hypothermic when I think about cold. And here she is putting her cold hands on me, and I'm like, ah, you're killing me, woman.
She's just showing you love, that's all.
Yeah,
well, she appreciates you.
Warm your hands up and then show me love. Where'd Shannon go? She disappear on us?
She did. She had to go and tend to some family stuff.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Anybody else got any thoughts on what we should be doing? How's things going in your side of the world, Dublin? He got his microphone.
Pretty good. Lovely.
Roll 4 yards down the street, Dublin.
We got to get that man some internet.
It's good, guys. Yeah, I just didn't unmute. lovely and sunny here. Must be 20-something degrees. The beach behind me. All the Sheilas.
All the Sheilas.
Yeah, invading Spain, cultists, after you finish pillaging and raping America.
He's not Viking, he's Australian.
Yeah.
We just come and drink all your slap all your women on the back.
Oh, man. Boy, he's not Viking, he's Australian.
You know, all that talk getting cold. Even I'm starting to feel cold. You know?
Well,
no, it's nice and warm now. It's like 50 degrees.
Roll up your window.
All right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'd be boiling if I did that. The aircon is broken. Well, it's not broken. I've recharged it this year.
Well, send us some of that heat.
Okay. Just hold on a second while I cyber heat the place up.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I saw an interesting thing there that they're going to use graphene to store hydrogen.
Cool.
I don't exactly know how they're doing it, but they're going to be able to get 9 to 1. I think, like, they could store 9% relative to the material. And the best so far with... those systems is about 1%, and they're aiming for 5% with the new technology, and they're claiming the graphene will hit 9%. So looks like hydrogen, stored hydrogen, might be possible.
Well, we've already got a substance to do that, and I can't think
of lithium. Lithium.
Is it lithium?
Yeah.
They just apply electricity to it to release it?
Lithium 6.
Right, yeah, okay. It's and the reason why you can't purchase it is because it's made in the manufacture of nuclear weapons. Yeah. But yeah,
Some of the Americans can't do that. Everybody else in the world can do it, as far as I know.
You can't purchase it. You can make it, but you require your own like nuclear reactor.
Well, yeah. Could you take it out of lithium batteries?
The Americans are not allowed to make it. But whereas if we want to in either Europe or Australia, apparently they won't stop us making it ourselves.
This is the thing. You can make it, even in the US, you can make it. But each individual person must make it themselves because you cannot trade it.
Oh, that's it.
Because you're dealing in substances for the manufacturing of nuclear weapons.
Man.
How's that for a screw up?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Putting lithium six, putting hydrogen in it, storage of hydrogen.
You can buy lithium. You just buy a lithium battery and don't.
No. This is a specific lithium.
Okay, I was going to say, because you get sheets of pure lithium out of those.
Yeah,
it's you have to put them in something quick though, because lithium reacts to oxygen really fast.
Yeah.
And that is explosive. I would doubt it.
I'll
look up the video and share it.
Any metal is like that. It's an accelerant. So.
Well, Dublin, what do you think your thoughts are on my idea that I was talking about by basically making a self-powered hydrogen cell that was... You don't need an external battery. The actual hydrogen cell itself is the battery.
Unfortunately, I missed that part because I couldn't find a suitable Wi-Fi.
Well, I run a little experiment, and I made a chemical battery using salt and lemon juice. And I took the plates that would be for the hydrogen plate. I took two stainless steel plates and put them down inside the battery. So essentially, while the energy was being produced, it was pushing down into the plates, and it started to bubble and produce hydrogen by itself. Now I could watch the voltage drop, but it wasn't dropping rapidly, but it was dropping. And every once in a while, I would hit it with a 9-volt battery and put it up to about 1.5 volts, and then it would go down about 70 some odd volts, and then work its way down. But the lowest that it's got is down to 0.32 volts.
Yeah. I think there's there's several issues with hydrogen. You need awful lot of it if you want to replace gasoline fuel or diesel fuel. You need 2,200 liters of hydrogen.
Well, yeah, I understand. I understand the problem in getting enough hydrogen, but the concept of what I was talking about doing was a low-powered, you could actually just throw a little cheapo solar cell on it and just leave it running to fill up a storage tank or whatever, you know. But the fact is, the battery itself, you know, because batteries have a label on there that says that, warning label, you don't want to arc spark that thing because there's possibility for a hydrogen explosion because the batteries produce hydrogen. And that's why there's a little vent on the side of all the batteries so that can escape out of the battery without overpressurizing that battery and blowing battery acid all over you.
Yeah, it's this brings it back to the question of what production do you get for how many watts of power?
Yesterday was the first test, so until I get something concrete, you know, I'll put one together and put a video out and show all the measurements on it, but it's still, you know, like I said, until you try it, you ain't going to know with any design, but...
Oh, yeah. I mean, I kind of had the same idea a while back, but I did ran the maths, and it kind of indicated that you wouldn't be getting that many, that much hydrogen for the amount of energy. But then you never know; there's weird things can happen.
But if the
other batteries produce,
go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, we lost Stalker.
Oh, we lost him. Yeah, he was. I think he was probably going to say it produces other stuff other than hydrogen, and one of the things it produces is some sort of sulfide of hydrogen. I don't know what the sulfide of hydrogen is like, but I'm sure it can't be helpful.
Well, that's the reason why I was using salt water and hoping to not have toxic stuff coming up out of there. Like I said, it's just an idea at this point, and I did make a little miniature prototype of it, and it did produce hydrogen. It just, the question is how much can you do by it, but the key is that you didn't need an external battery. It was the battery.
It was the battery, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's the kind of way forward. Even if the production is low, if it's dirt cheap, and you build it huge, like, say, you build a bloody swimming pool of it, you know, and you got a load of gas coming off in the daytime, you know, it might work when you scale up on a large size. So it's definitely worth pursuing, but you might find you might have to make it kind of, like, large, you know, maybe.
Yeah, I'm going to make a pretty substantial cell, probably one about the size of a normal battery, and I'm actually going to try a whole bunch of different metals, because in this one here I put in a couple sheets of galvanized metal along with it, and I also got a galvanic reaction between the chemistry going on that actually increased the voltage 50%. And so as opposed to like 30 some odd volts, I had like 60 some odd volts, and so it actually increased it. However, you started getting the black crud was coming off of the off the galvanized metal. So, you know, I need to find, like Thomas said, I need to find materials that won't break down. And while I did the experiment, I noticed that the only metals out of the three that I used, only the galvanized broke down, and the copper and the stainless were fine.
It also depends whether or not you're using the copper and the galvanized as the anode or the cathode too. You'll find that certain arrangements will not break them down. I can't remember whether it's the anode or the cathode. I did do a video on this some time back, but I never actually uploaded it. But you can use copper as I think it's the negative side of the cell, and it won't break down.
Well, let me look on it real quick while you guys talk. I'll look on there real quick and see which side is the positive, which side's the negative.
Right, because I can never remember that either.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to remember what's cathode and what's anode.
Yeah, positive and negative, yeah.
Well, on this one right here, the copper was positive.
Okay, and the copper didn't break down?
No.
Okay, so then try, where did you put the galvanized, on the positive side or on the negative side?
The galvanized is on the negative side.
All right, try using it on the positive, on the same side as where the copper is now, and see what happens.
Yeah, just reverse the poles there.
Yeah, I bet you it doesn't break down.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, we'll give that a shot.
Because basically what you've got going on there is a copper plating situation, like an electroplating situation.
Yeah,
and in one direction, you'll have the copper trying to attach itself to the other metal, and that's what breaks it down. In the reverse, stainless steel is not going to disassociate from itself and try to coat the copper.
Huh. So I wonder if I could use one stainless steel plate and one copper plate.
You could.
Yeah, it sounds like it would work all right.
And then for the hydrogen portion, use two stainless.
Yep.
That's worth a shot.
Yeah, it's doable.
Anyway, I just kind of thought, though, if you could actually get the hydrogen cell to be the battery itself, that there would be some benefits in there, so I'm going to tinkering around with it.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. The big thing is if you can produce hydrogen cheap, then, you know, hopefully the technology from things like graphene or lithium-6 will allow you to store it easily.
Yeah.
You know, the big problem today has been the storage issue. And also, I wanted to... I seriously think that when you put hydrogen in with petrol and you're burning it, that there's a high probability that you might be getting hydrogen forming with water and then breaking down and then forming water and, you know, maybe several times in one explosion. Which
right.
might which might explain why hydrogen mixed with petrol or gasoline is giving the better miles to gallon, because I can find no other logical reason. You know, the small amounts that are put in.
Yeah, but the reaction from hydrogen compared to petrol is huge.
And yeah,
it's much more volatile substance.
Exactly. You know,
and it doesn't burn. It pops. It just goes snap, and every molecule that you're working with snaps back to water. It doesn't. It's like no other substance I've ever put a match to. That's for sure.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's why NASA used it.
Even liquid petroleum burns through slow, whereas hydrogen just goes snap, done. Like,
oh yeah,
nothing to it.
I mean, that's why NASA opted for liquid fueled hydrogen and oxygen rockets, because, you know, when you put it into the chamber and you ignite it, you know, you get a really fast ignition and a really fast ejection. You get the fastest speed coming out of the nozzle.
Yep.
The faster your speed is coming out of the nozzle of molecules, the more thrust you're getting. So nothing comes out of the rear end of a rocket like hydrogen and oxygen joined together in a rocket engine, I can tell you. but it's hard work, because you gotta work with cryogenics.
Yep.
So that's why most rocketry tends to avoid hydrogen. They'll prefer to work with a paraffin or a diesel or a gasoline or an alcohol.
Yeah.
Even though it's a bit heavier, it's much easier to work with.
Well,
pure oxygen is easy enough with low temperature to put in. You know, you only lose 1%. You know, you freeze it down to ice and you know liquid, and you put it in and, like, just pour it into a container, and it, you know, it vents off quite slowly. But hydrogen in cryogenics is an awful nightmare. It's real high tech.
Well, if we could get all these ideas and these brains together in virtual labs, there's no doubt in my mind that we could build something. And there's no doubt in my mind. There's just too much information out there that proves that free energy is there. I mean, maybe I'm crazy, but
it's there. It's just we haven't found it yet, you know. But maybe next week.
Well, you know, you got the wind, you got the sun, you got the earth. I mean, there's just so many different things. You know, we live in an electric universe, and why you can't tap into that is beyond me. I mean, I. You know, I'm not going to stop until I do it. Period.
Exactly. What we're going to do is keep on. Eventually. Hopefully.
Anyway, these little ideas like turning the hydrogen cell itself into a battery, these are things that I like to look into, you know. And when I was watching that video that we were talking about earlier, they were saying that some guys spend their entire life and never make it, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But a lot of the information that they put out there is information that we're feeding on today.
Yep.
You know, and we've made advancements in their technologies. There's some of them out there that maybe they weren't able to get to fully function that people have been able to get function. And like the guy kept saying in the movie, you know, every time that critic science guy would come on there and say, oh, it's against the laws of physics, you know, and the guy would come on there and say, and the wheel keeps turning. Yeah, so if the wheel's still turning, there's something there. What do you think? Don't everybody jump at once.
That's at slight pause, I give everybody for their chance to jump in and speak. No one ever takes it.
That's a pretty good excuse. We'll go with that one.
All we have to do is learn to join our machinery in with the wheels of nature, you know? That's all we've got to do. It's not that, you know... It's not that it doesn't exist. We know damn well it exists.
Yeah, we hear an awful lot about all we need to do is, but nobody's actually doing. That's the problem.
I am.
Why does this? Really? Do you like being chased with pitchforks, Thomas?
You have one that runs?
Yeah, I got a lot of stuff that runs.
I can't believe you're actually suggesting that people like Shaziz and I sit on our butt and do nothing about the situation.
Yeah, here's the thing.
No one's written it down so that we can go and copy it and know what we're doing.
Here's the thing. People are missing the whole point. They're talking about over unity. They're talking about zero point. Right now, at the stage that most of the alternative community is not over unity, it's not zero point, but it is a step further towards actually making that reality, because I'm seeing a lot of devices that are getting out more energy than they're putting in. Now, whether you can claim it to be perpetual motion or free energy at this point, I don't care about zero point, nor do I care about the high tech.
I started working on that. I decided to investigate that idea of actually making crude oil, clear, clean crude oil out of plants. Because the plants are basically scrubbing the air to get the remnants of what comes out of your tailpipe out of the air and turning it back into sugar and starch. And you just convert that back into crude oil, burn it, put it back in the atmosphere, the plants will reconsume it, and, you know, the cycle continues. There's no loss. The input of the energy comes from the sun because that's what, you know, the plants are using to make that stuff. But right now, they're the most efficient means we have of converting unusable gases into something that's useful.
Well, I know guys that are running French fry oil in their doggone diesel generators, all right? And they get the French fry oil for free from the doggone stores because after they go there...
Yeah, they give it away, but they have to filter that afterwards because it's used.
Oh, yeah,
but
of course.
It is pre-carburized, so it's broken down and it's a thinner substance. It's basically what you want. If you buy virgin vegetable oil, you have to actually heat that stuff up to cause it to depolymerize a little bit before you can use it.
Yeah, they just filter out the crud.
Right, you get it from the French fry vats, though it's already been done. That's all been finished.
And the funny thing is, while their generator's running, you don't smell diesel fumes, you smell French fries.
French fries, or it smells like popcorn chicken.
Yeah. So
the downside is, though, if the DOT comes by, you get fined if you're not paying taxes on that like you would for your gasoline.
Well, if you got it out in your shed and the DOT don't normally visit your shed, then I wouldn't worry about it.
No, but they do regularly check people's vehicles whenever something seems not right. So if you run your vehicle, a diesel vehicle on that, you got to watch out for that.
Yeah.
And the bad thing is, the gave these people that they went and fined for, they gave them grants to put their equipment together, and then they stalked them to see that they didn't pay their taxes and then turn around and, you know, fined them more than they basically gave them in a grant.
Well, therein lies the whole problem. The government's going to tax anything you ask for permission. So I ain't asking for permission. I'm going to build my free energy device. I'm not going to patent it.
Yes.
I'm just going to give it away to every man and his brother.
The only permission slip we need is from the universe itself, you know?
Yep.
If it says it can be done, let's do it.
I agree.
Don't talk about it, just do it, you know? And if you're gonna talk about it, make sure you're talking about it directly to somebody you're helping out. Don't, you know, toot a horn so that the whole world knows you're doing. That's like coming home with your car stereo blaring full blast, showing off how expensive a car stereo system you've got, and then wondering why your car stereo was stolen when you get up the next day.
If I cared about patents and money and all that kind of stuff, when I came up with an idea such as making the doggone hydrogen cell, the battery itself, I wouldn't even have said that on the radio, because now anybody can take that idea and run with it, and they could go out, rush out and get a patent and possibly make millions of dollars on it. I don't care about the money portion of it. All I care about is is putting up or shutting up. You know, they keep hollering about how the world is all polluted and everything, and we got to go to green energy, while the same big fat cats that are hollering go to green energy and reduce your carbon footprint are still flying around in corporate jets and limousines and buying mansions and that kind of stuff. And to me, especially Al Gore should be living in a teepee out in the desert somewhere with filtered water or something like that. But now, what's he doing? He's still flying around in a corporate jet. He's still riding around in a corporate limousine. He still lives in a mansion, still living it high on the hog he's looking
what you're
down.
Saying, what you're saying is what Cultist mentioned earlier. He's a fat guy trying to sell you a diet plan.
Yeah, that's it. All right, you try that diet plan first. If it works for you, then I'll give it a shot.
Right. I was going to say, don't come to us and tell us how incredibly expert you are at something when all you do is teach other people how to do it. Because, you know, there's a little phrase called those who can do, those who can't teach.
Yeah, well,
If you're teaching for a living and not doing whatever it is you say you're so good at, then obviously you're not that good at it.
I'm trying to do both. My resources are limited to what I can scrounge up, so a lot of my devices end up having to wait for me to find something in a junkyard or being donated some parts or something like that.
Let me ask you something. Since we're on that fuel cell thing, how much research have you done on actual fuel cells?
I'm
looking at some of the stuff right now, and a lot of it's laid out. I mean, if you go through Wikipedia and look at the design portion of each of the fuel cells, they give you all the materials they're made out of.
Yeah.
And they give you the why. They give you that's the important thing. They give you the why. So if you know why it does and you know about other materials, you can figure out what you can substitute if you don't have whatever it is they're trying to use. Like if they're using, micrograin infused platinum PDOT, you can find something else to replace that with.
Well,
it's capabilities. You know what it's there for, so you find something that can be used in exchange for it.
That's how I was able to get as far as I could on hydrogen, because I knew that stainless doesn't crud up like other metals, and so stainless was the best portion for the electrolysis process. And so I just took some ideas and some thoughts that I had that, batteries have warning labels on them that say that they produce hydrogen, and what else they produce, depends on the chemistry in the battery.
You should probably, since you're wanting to do by salvage, you should probably do like I've done and invest in an acid test kit, because you can use that to determine what grade of stainless you have just with a little drop of liquid on the surface and give it a second to see what color it changes.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
They use the same thing for gold to find out what carat it is.
Yeah.
It's not as noxious as that stuff. That stuff has to be pretty corrosive to basically affect anything other than 24 karat gold.
Yeah.
But, with stainless, you can use phosphoric acid from, Diet Coke to test it.
To see if it creds up and changes colors?
Yeah. You basically just get some samples first. Buy some little pieces of it that are specific grades, and mark it with the stuff, and then you take that with you and you match that up after doing the same thing to the stainless you're looking to buy. A lot of them use these baffles too, and it looks like a lot of the money they're talking about for the manufacture of these things is going into machining solid billet, which is a huge waste of materials and time and energy that could be overcome by building a press.
A
press that basically creates your folds on a thinner sheet and then just use the thinner sheets all day long.
A lot of the things that I used are repurposed items that I already made. A hydrogen cell, I can go out and find either glass or, clear plastic. Can't remember.
Plexiglass talk.
Not plexiglass.
Plexan.
Yeah.
Plexan.
A lot of the, you can find, you go to thrift stores, you can find containers that were made out of different products, plastics or whatever.
Yeah.
And you can repurpose those into using them for hydrogen cells and be able to seal them up. And so,
yeah.
With that said, that's how I go about my stuff. But I was saying, if I had access to a 3D printer or I had access to a machine shop and somebody who had all the tools and technology, how to put everything down in calculations, like for example, I go all the way back to this little generator that I use by using fish tank air pumps. These fish tank air pump coils will produce 120 volts AC, and I've got six of them on one deal that's being run by a motor out of a 12-volt car fan motor, and it's turning a flywheel made out of two-part epoxy resin with magnets in there. Now, the flywheel itself is not balanced in any way. I mean, it wobbles. It'll vibrate off the deal if it's not screwed down, but it is producing a lot more energy, and if this thing could be produced, it could be milled out to specs that had, you know, precision bearings and everything on there, the capabilities would be unlimited. I mean, you could build a flywheel system if it was built properly, you know, with the proper machinery to where it's not tearing itself apart while it's trying to run. You see where I'm coming from? There's the difference. If I can do this much out of junk, you can imagine what we could do if we had the access to the right shop.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's why I said that I think the real investment is in the knowledge on how to use tools and the tools themselves.
Yeah.
Because everything else is being tossed out all the time. I mean, you can find an angle inside of, you know, dead TVs that people throw away. It takes a couple seconds to take the back off it and pull the pieces you need out of it.
Wait till Cultus.
Let the rest of it continue going wherever it's going to go if you don't have, you know, acid baths to basically break down the chemicals in it, like the gold and the iridium and whatnot that's in there to reuse it.
Wait till Cultus sees my shed out back with all the stuff inside that thing. He's going to freak. It's a junk man's dream.
Why do you think we're coming for a week and not just a couple of days?
Hey, do you have an armor press?
A what?
An arbor press?
Oh, no. All I got around here is just basic tools, vice grips and drills and grinders. And, you know, I don't have all the...
Go hit a harbor trade up or something and pick one up. They're usually about $50 to $100, and you will be surprised at what you can do with that thing. It basically just puts like 1 to 2 tons of straight down forward pressure on whatever you've got in there, and you can mount a template on the top and the bottom.
Cool.
So, you can literally just take some flat sheet, take a sheet metal punch and punch out a shaped hole out of it and use it to press shapes out of it.
Well, see, now that would be great because if I could do that, I could take like regular galvanized sheet metal and just punch holes and make discs with the perfectly centered holes in there that I can mount to any electric motor and get that thing to turn true. The problem that I'm having is I have to use a mold that I made out of out of PVC plumbing, big old 2.5-inch caps of PVC plumbing, and then I use polyurethane mold release, and I pour the resin down inside there. But if you don't have that thing on a perfectly level table, then you're going to get it just slightly off, just enough that it's going to change the balance of that thing. And so with that said, you can't get the coils close enough to the deal to get the max potential out of it, if you know what I'm saying. When the field pulses, it could be a lot stronger if it was gapped close enough to where, you know, the flywheel's not bashing into it, but it's still getting a really strong pulse every time it goes around. Mm-hmm. And right now I'm getting a weak pulse, but I'm still getting a lot of energy out of it because it's made out of junk. You know, it's not wobbling true. I mean, it's not spinning true. It's wobbling. And so it knocks into stuff, and so I got to adjust them out far enough to where it won't touch it, but I'll still get energy out. But if I could gap these at the right gap and have it precision spin, this thing would put out a whole bunch of energy, a lot more than it's doing right now. I mean, right now, there's 6 leads that run off of this thing, and it runs off a 12-volt car battery. If you touch one of those leads, it will literally lay you out. That's just one of them. It puts out, as it stands, 360 volts AC. All right, and like I said, you don't want to touch that wire while that thing's running because it will tear you up. There's six of those coils on that thing. Each one of them's putting out 360 volts apiece. And so if I could get this thing down to precision, put it in a machine shop and have them build me the right motor, and the motor that I've got on here is not even efficient. It's just a fan motor out of a car. I need a motor that has its own built-in air cooler so that when this armature's turning, the motor itself doesn't lose energy from heat. You know, you could actually keep the motor cool by putting a blade inside it, kind of like what they do inside of a blender. They have at the
that's not keeping you from losing energy through heat. That's just venting the heat, the energy that's turning into heat off before it can damage your coils.
Well, yeah, but to some extent, it does cool it down.
Right, you need some thermoelectric coolers that basically have fans on those, so as it's pulling the heat off, it's generating electricity and not wasting it.
Yeah.
Waste.
But either way, when the motor gets hot, you know, it's not helping the motor out any. You eventually going to fry your coils out. So like on a blender, because a blender motor spins at such high RPMs, if it didn't have no way for that heat to get out of there, that blender motor wouldn't last very long. So if you tear apart a blender, you'll find that there's a little metal fan at the bottom of that motor that sucks the air out through that thing, or sucks air into it to cool it
actually,
down.
Actually, the thing that it's protecting is your lamination that's over the coils. Whatever the wire is actually coated, and it's protecting that. So
yeah, but it still helps cool it down.
It's been one of my questions to, if you let a motor run really hot, but you covered it with something that won't break down. Well, you know, basically it won't catch on fire and burn out from the
fire. Oh, yeah, if you could...
Will the copper actually get more efficient when it's reaching that almost melting point?
If you could keep the coating from laminating down, you wouldn't have to worry about heat tearing that motor up. Because you're not losing...
That's what I'm saying, is that they've found that basically copper, when it's super cooled or when it's super heated, actually conducts better in either state.
Yeah,
it's really difficult to cool it off, and you can't run it hot unless you've got something on there that can withstand that heat, like maybe a ceramic layer or something.
Yeah, and then you'd actually have to have a larger motor because of the ceramic. But either way, you're right. But you're not losing any of the electrons inside the copper. The copper doesn't deteriorate. You know, as it's producing electricity, the copper atoms are just changing places with each other, which creates the current. So you'll have the same amount of copper atoms when you're done running it as you did when you started. So that's impressive already. But if you can find a way to create a lamination on the wire itself so that these wires never come in contact with each other, you could get this thing to extreme temperatures, like you said, almost to the melting point, and not destroy that motor. You could make an indestructible motor if you had the right material to laminate.
Well, the question is, if it reaches like that 99.9% efficiency rating while it's producing all that heat still, and you put some Peltiers on there to suck that heat out and generate electricity off of that, how much over 100% are you going to be at that point?
There you go. And these are the things that if we can find the materials to actually create a lamination on copper wire that can't be broke down, that maybe even gets stronger the hotter it gets, you know, kind of like that unobtainium stuff that they were talking about on that one movie.
Well, there is a material that will do that, and it conducts the heat really well. I have to look for it again, but I mean the guys. Recipe for it involves eggshells.
Well,
you can hold a plate of this stuff out. It was like a really, I don't know, like a hybrid between a plastic and a ceramic. You can hold a plate of this stuff out and cook an egg with a blowtorch from underneath the plate. Like put the egg on top and the blowtorch underneath and cook the egg. Pull the egg off and pick the plate up immediately and it's not hot.
Well, see, I've seen...
Just pass it straight through and out. You know,
I've seen things with induction heating, like they got those, there's a commercial they run on TV, they got these little hot plates that you can run, and they got this pan that's cut like looks like a piece of pie took out of a pie, and basically they got stuff, water boiling in the pan, and they got their hand directly on the heating element at the same time. It's induction heating, so it's using magnetics to heat the deal. So there's
so the inductor's not actually getting hot. Just the water in the pan or the pan itself is getting hot.
So the
actually, I was wondering, wouldn't the induction heater heat up the iron which is in your blood?
Well, I don't know. They're putting their hands
it
on it.
It probably does. I'm guessing you're just dissipating the heat with your all the liquids in your body fast enough that you can deal with it a lot easier than that solid metal pan can.
Yeah, your body has a radiator on it, whereas the pan don't.
Right. Well, you're also looking at basically a solid piece of metal that is trying to the atoms, even though they're being bound solidly up, they're still being wiggled back and forth ultra fast. So it's kind of like the difference in taking a piece of sandpaper and just laying it gently on a surface and pulling it back and forth across it and getting no friction. Whereas if you push down really hard and start scrubbing back and forth the same speed, you'll burn your hand.
Yeah.
It'll literally leave a blister on your finger.
Well, guys, we're getting down to the wire again, man. Another good show. I guess this is the time we go around and see if who's got something to say. So who wants to go first? Let's go.
Well, we'll start with Stalker.
Go ahead, brother. It's all yours.
Yeah. We totally should make those things Carl Chaziz was talking about. We have to combine what we have and just suck up the last part of the wasted energy.
Yeah.
I agree.
Like you said, just we don't need new technology. We just need to make better technology we have now.
Well said, brother.
Well said. So who's up next?
Thomas!
I got nothing, man.
He never got anything.
Not even.
Like, talk the ears off an elephant, but then when it comes to the
I've said no already.
Not even.
Life to the world.
I'll just say, crack that Wikipedia open. Learn about something new. Buy a new tool. Don't look at it as too expensive. Look at it as an investment.
There you go. There's some good words of wisdom.
Move forward, not backwards, you know?
Well, we're with you, brother.
Dublin. All up to you, brother. Your final thoughts, my friend. Unmute your mic and try again.
Dublin, going once.
I don't hear the ding, so he must not be there.
Oh, we must have lost him.
With a muted microphone, you wouldn't hear the ding, Thomas.
All right, well, go ahead there, cultists, because we're down to the wire.
All down to me. All right, well, as always, everyone just take care out there, be safe, share your ideas, make sure you help a brother during the week, or a sister, someone in need, even if you can only afford it a little, help a little, it's that simple, we've all got to stick together in this. We're all in it together. Without each other, we are surely going to fail. So with that said, make sure you pop over to our website during the week, which is cultist.weebly.com. And make sure you check out the blogs on YouTube. You can pop over and see my YouTube channel is youtube.com/desert experimenter. And back to you, Shazidis.
Well, with all that said, thanks to everybody out there listening. I hope you heard the first part of the show, but the podcast will be up. But just keep in mind, love doesn't cost anything, and if you spread love across the land, you can spread all the love you can give away and still not run out of love, and that's the key, the knowledge that we share amongst each other with all these networks. We've got to keep this ball rolling. I know there are a lot more people out there listening that are showing up in the chat rooms. I know there's a lot more people out there listening that aren't really interacting with us, but if you believe in what it is that we're talking about, share these networks. If it's not Shaziz Radio, share Awake Radio, share No Borders Radio. Get people up in them chat rooms and sharing their ideas. We have an amazing potential. We have the platform here. If it's not going to be the platform at Shaziz Radio, you go to our shows and host, and you can find the link down there to other radio networks who are out there trying to alternative media for everything under the sun, from alternative energy, alternative medicine, alternative foods. And right now is the time to find out, what you can do in case of worst case scenario. We're not doomsdayers by any means, but we do believe in being prepared. We do believe in being educated. And if you got a bit of knowledge that you've been sitting on, you know, now's the time to share it with everybody out there in the world. Because as I said before, the path that we're heading on as humanity doesn't have a very good ending as far as I'm concerned. And so with that said, the only ones out there who can fix this is we the people. You the individual, along with us, putting our minds together and taking all the crummy technology that's been laid out before us and use it to repair the entire system or rebuild the entire system. However you want to look at it, whether it's divine intervention or science or magic or whatever, the fact is we're all still in the same boat together. And when this boat goes down, guess what, brothers and sisters of the world? It's a joint effort. We're all going to sink together. And I don't want us to sink. I don't want our grandchildren to miss out on the things that we got to enjoy in our lifetime. And so we got to preserve freedom. We got to preserve hope, peace, and love for the world. And that is what the Knights of the Round Table stands for. Does anybody here disagree?
Not one. I urge you.
All right. Well,
I'm thinking maybe it's time we start planning an annual Knights of the Round Table convention or something.
Hey, I love it. I love it. Yeah. That would be spectacular.
Missouri.
Well, we're starting to cut into Michael's time again. He's going to get tired of me and beat me up or something. So I'm
going to go ahead. You just
is. I'm going to go ahead and play
us
out.
Not in here with us,
Michael. Yeah, you should be up in here with us. You're one of the knights, and if you're hearing me, don't forget old King Shaziz the Terrible rules with an iron fist. It's pretty bad when you don't even believe what you say. All right, peace and love, everybody. Take care.
Man, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how'd you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur.
That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
But if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're Knights of the Round Table, three dots where we're in.
down here in Camelot, we have a German spamot. With knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-table. The many times we give and blind that our quiet unsing able. We're all come mad in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Turbo and the Knights of the Round Table.